Grace and peace to you this morning in the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Today we continue our messages based on the series Walking with Those Who Walked with Jesus by the Reverend Richard File. This is message number 4 in a 6 disciple series. If you haven't been with us before, we have a quickie quiz of 6 questions at the start of each message. We've made it into sort of a contest as you earn points with a correct answer. So you may write down what you earn on your service folder bulletin so that you don't lose track of your points. Here we go with question number 1, which is worth 5 points. Is the Apostle Thomas mentioned in 1, 2, 3, or 4 of the Gospels? And the correct answer is all 4 Gospels. Mark down your 5 points if you got that. Question number 2 is worth 10 points. Thomas was sometimes called Didymus. What's that mean? Does it mean beloved? The twin? The courageous one? Or the doubter? Beloved, twin, courageous one, or doubter? And the correct answer is the twin. Question number 3 for 15 points. According to tradition, Thomas eventually died in which country? India, Persia, Israel, or Italy? And the correct answer is India. Question 4 is worth 20 points. An interesting document was found in a jar near Cairo, Egypt in 1945, which is often referred to as the Gospel of Thomas. This collection that was found has been dated from 25 BC, AD 100, AD 140, or AD 195. And the correct answer is AD 140. Question 5, I'm going to repeat the options for answers because of its length. It's worth 25 points. In chapter 11, Jesus says he is going back to attend to Lazarus, who is deathly sick. The disciples, knowing that this place was very close to Jerusalem, warned Jesus not to go because the Jews nearby wanted to kill him. And how did Thomas reply to this? Did he say, first choice, let us also go that we might die with him? Or number 2, we could go under cover of the night. Or number 3, it is best that you not go. Or number 4, it will be safer if we all go. Okay, let us also go that we might die with him. We could go under cover of the night. It is best that you not go, and he will be safer if we all go. And the answer is, let us all go that we might die with him. And the final question is worth 30 points. Thomas asked for 2 forms of proof before he would believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. One was that he would get to see the nails' marks. What was the other form of proof? And there's a key word in whatever phrase or answer you use you need to have. The answer, that Thomas in some way would need to touch the wounds or marks of Christ. Our key word is touch. Today I am taking the position as the attorney for the defense. Who am I defending? Well, Thomas, of course. He has had this name of Doubting Thomas passed down for a couple of thousand years. And I'd like us to look today, and you can come up with whatever conclusion you wish, look to see if this is really fair to him and what kind of a person he really was. Now, John 20 tells us that on the first day of the week, the disciples were together. The doors were locked because they were still in fear of the Jews. Thomas was not there. And doors locked or not, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his side. And we can well understand that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Have you ever had great news or fantastic news that you just couldn't wait to share with someone? Well, the disciples finally found Thomas, and I feel sure they couldn't wait to tell him, "We have seen the Lord." But what he said to them must have been a real downer. Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." And a week later, the disciples were in the house again. This time, Thomas was with them. And the doors were still locked. And Jesus again came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And then Thomas finally believed. He replied, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Put yourself in Thomas's place. Pretend that someone near and dear to you has died and you are grief-stricken. And some of your friends come up to you and they tell you they've seen the person. Do you believe that without evidence? I don't think most people would. I am certain that I would not without further evidence. There is every indication in the Holy Scriptures that Thomas was a deep, committed, and loving disciple. He had to be heartsick over losing Christ. And many times there have been mistakes made in identifying other people. I've made a couple of them myself. Thomas is not going to grab onto some possible false hope just to be crushed again. Here's what I really like. Jesus doesn't go out and condemn Thomas. He shows up again to bring Thomas the reassurance that he needs. In his love and grace, our Lord even meets Thomas's terms. He invites him to come and see and to touch his wounds. And the result of this is, of course, Thomas's faith is strengthened through all of this. And he pronounces Jesus to be who he is, his Lord and his God. I think God gives us the same opportunity. It's not easy to believe what you have not seen. But with God, anything is possible. And that's the challenge that Christ Church has at this time in history. We sow the seed. He is the one that causes it to grow. And we need to be patient and show love and not feel rushed about it. Not everyone comes to trust in the Lord the first or second or even third time we or someone else talk to them about Him. Let me share an example with you. Some of you will know that I was a baseball manager out here for 13 to 15-year-old guys for about 8 years. That's when I was a bachelor. And I got to know some of the families well. And I found out eventually where they went to church and whether they believed in the Lord. And I spent a lot of time explaining the key points of Christianity to both parents and young people alike. I especially shared with one mother, the mother of one of my players, because she seemed so interested and was so nice. But one day we were in her kitchen and she stunned me. She thanked me for caring for the family and for her by sharing a number of things in the last couple of years. But she said, I think the time has come to tell you, Ken, that I don't believe all the things you believe in the Bible. And I was very disappointed. But I kept a good face on about it. It was her house. She had listened to what I had to share. She had a right to draw what conclusions she wanted. And life went on. Well, you know how it is when you coach kids for 3 years. Eventually, the players get too old for the team. And they move on. And their families move on. And you still care about them. But you don't see them much anymore. A couple years later, I was shopping at Rogers. Do you remember that? Rogers is Giant Eagle now. And I almost ran into her. I'd never seen her shopping there before. As I wheeled my shopping cart around the end into the next aisle, there she was. Ken, she said, I've been meaning to call you. I wanted to tell you that I believe the same things in the Bible that you do now. We didn't have that much time to talk that day, but I went home really thankful. And this surprise announcement turned out to be super important. For about a year later, this young mom unexpectedly died. What she lost on this earth was more than made up for by meeting her Savior in heaven. In John chapter 11, we see something in Thomas's life that really stands out. He is a devoted and courageous disciple. Jesus, as most of you know, was a close friend of a man named Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And the sisters had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was very sick and dying. And Jesus decided to go back to Bethany where Lazarus was. But Bethany is only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and the disciples were against it. They reminded Jesus that the last time he was in this area, the Jews tried to stone him to death. But Jesus was determined to go and serve God there. And what did Thomas say to the rest of the disciples? He said, quote, "Let us also go that we might die with him." Wow. That is courage. Do you have that type of courage? Is your walk with Christ so strong that you would rather die with him than to live without him? If you are not there yet, it does not mean that you're not a Christian. But it does mean that you have some growing to do. How does a person grow to be strong like Thomas? The Bible tells us. It involves times of worship and study. It means taking Holy Communion seriously. It means having Jesus as the priority in your life. We get that kind of strength not from ourselves, but from our relationship with our Savior. And to me, doubting Thomas is just not a fair description of this man. I prefer to think of him as courageous Thomas. And let us not forget that Jesus made a special effort to help Thomas believe, and that is our responsibility toward other people also. And I close this morning with two interesting things about the life of Thomas. These are not from the Bible. They're from outside sources. But they're still worthy of our attention. One is, there is a document that was discovered in AD 140 in a jar fairly close to Cairo, Egypt. It is often referred to as the Gospel of Thomas. And the document is a collection of 114 reported sayings of Christ, in the form of isolated dicta or brief conversations. But the late dating of this document, AD 140, along with the fact that some of the sayings seem to be altered from previous teachings and records in history, argue against accepting this as an authentic gospel to be included in the Holy Scriptures. Thomas may have been the original author of some of it, however. And the second thing I'd like to share is that there are a number of accounts outside scriptures that Thomas traveled to India. And according to these sources, he was martyred when he was attacked by someone with a spear. There is even a Christian group in India that goes way, way back, which claims to be the spiritual descendants of the Apostle Thomas. And what's interesting to note is not far from this Christian community, there is a Jewish community that goes way, way back also, and they have in their records that the other community was started by the Christian Apostle Thomas. Isn't that something? Whatever one may believe about the last two claims, I'm sure we can all agree on this, that through this courageous man, people came to know the true God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. On this Holy Trinity Sunday, we pray that God the Holy Spirit would raise up more people in Christ's church to meet the challenge we have at this time in history. Amen.